This podcast is made possible by the generosity of supporting members. Please visit dharmaocean.org to learn more about becoming a supporting member. You are listening to the Dharma Ocean podcast. Reggie begins the second part of this talk on open-heartedness by saying that the heart, in its own state of being, is the awakened state. Through somatic meditation practice, we discover the enlightened qualities of the heart: vast, free, warm, responsive, and without judgment. This talk was given at the 2016 The Body Loves Retreat, held at the Blazing Mountain Retreat Center in Crestone, Colorado.
So, when we breathe into the heart, I don't know if we're there yet. It sounds like we're not quite there. We might have to do some more breathing. We need to simply, as Caroline said, simply be present to what is happening and what is offered by the body. And if the body offers us numbness, or if the body offers us terror, because terror, strangely enough, it's an ego thing. You know, terror is the way we relate to open space. It's one way we relate to it. All these so-called things that we do, being a fear, you know, when we're afraid of something, the fear that we have as humans is different from actually primordial fear. It's a very different kind of thing. So whatever's going on is our overlay, and that is not, I mean, you may have moments of great openness and it may feel wonderful, but generally speaking, we have a lot of camouflage. We have a lot of masks. We have a lot of covering and armoring over our heart. And whatever the body wants to show us here and anywhere on the journey, we've got to find a way to be present with it without judging, because you see, until you judge it, you're not going to do something different. So judgment is the first problem. This is bad. And then once you judge it as bad, then you're going to do something different to try to change it. Do you see what I mean? So we really have to not judge our experience. We've got to, you know, each one of us in his or her own way has got to find a way to let our somatic experience be. We've got to find a way to do it. And we can offer you practices, but you still have to do it. It's, in philosophy, they call it a moral decision. And what that means is you have to sign on. It's not going to happen by itself. You know, you can do the practices and the body's going to show you something, and then you have to surrender. You've got to do something. This is not babysitting in this lineage, where we just, you know, we just put a bottle in your mouth and everything's going to be okay. And, you know, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but an awful lot of spirituality is exactly that. And even with Trungpa Rinpoche, there was a lot of bottle feeding going on in the early years. And we were like the baby bird, just feed me. And at a certain point, it became clear that wasn't good enough. The adult lineage is, you're given, as I was saying the other day, you're given the teachings and you're given the tools, and then you have to do it. And that is not that easy. It's really difficult. And that's where a lot of people will fall away. And they'll go find some lineage where they get the bottle in the mouth. And, you know, some of the bottles have nice warm milk. Some of them have milk with honey in it. Some people like apple juice. There are a lot of choices out there. And some of them... and some of them have the infamous Jonestown Kool-Aid that are actually very harmful. So, what we're going to do at this point is we're going to begin breathing into the heart once again. And in the first part, I want you to really just see if you can be present. I know Caroline said it and I said it, but let's try it again. You know, to really be present to what's happening without any judgment, without the interference of what we think should be happening, without trying to orchestrate our own journey. Spiritual materialism is when you try to take charge of your own journey, and you try to direct your experience where you think, based on all the books and all the teachings, you think your experience should be going. That's spiritual materialism. That is not real spirituality. And that's a hard thing to hear, because that is pretty much what everybody does in this world, and that's what's taught. Can you work with your soma and simply make room for the process, the spontaneous process that begins to unfold when you do? And can you stay out of it? Can you stay out of it? Stay out of it. Do not meddle. Don't interfere. Don't jump in there and start telling your body what should be happening. Can you do that? Now, I'm talking about this in terms of the breathing into the heart, but it actually is true of the whole entire journey. We have got to keep our ego out of the game. And the only way to do it is to look to our beloved and devoted teacher and guide, which is our body, our soma. It's the only way to do it. We often say this is the lineage of devotion. People think, oh, well, this is the meditation. We call ourselves the practicing lineage, you know, in Trubgyu. And all these people practice, and Milarepa, you know, was in retreat his whole life, and all these people meditate, and they go on retreat, and actually that's not the heart of it. The heart of it is devotion. And devotion means realizing that you can't do it yourself. You, as a human, self-conscious human ego, you can't do it. You know, the other day when I said, it's not going to work out, that's what I'm talking about. Whatever you're trying to orchestrate for your life, it's not going to happen. It is not going to work out. Now, I know quite a few people were super pissed off that I said that. I'm just telling you the truth. It's not going to work out. Nothing is going to work out if you try to stay in charge. However, in the lineage of devotion, the devotion is number one to your own life, your own incarnation, your own human situation, as being completely and utterly sacred. And then the devotion is for your mentors and your teacher and your lineage, who give that, the tools to you to make that connection with yourself. And the devotion is to your Sangha brothers and sisters, who are also making this incredibly challenging but ever so joyful journey alongside of you, and sweating blood half the time. Huge devotion to them. That's why we do Rota, fundamentally. That's, Rota is an expression of devotion to the lineage and the container and to your Sangha brothers and sisters. It's a way of showing love. You know, I know there are people that, you know, are figuring out ways to skip Rota. You skip road and you skip love. You skip road and you skip devotion. This whole thing is about devotion. We can't do it ourselves. And in particular, we need our body to tell the truth. And the body always tells the truth. The body never lies. The body holds the answer. These are book titles, by the way. And my favorite book, The Body Knows the Score. The body is the source of all truth and all reality. It's the source of our life and the source of our journey. And it's the place where realization happens. And it is as a human embodied person that we can experience what human life and what our existence altogether is about. We need to have huge devotion to the body. And when the body shows us, such as breathing into the heart, things that either we didn't expect, or we think they should be different, or they're actually disgusting, or there's nothing there, you know, whatever you can fill in the blank, we have to have devotion to that. That very experience, that very presentation of the body, we have to have devotion to it. And devotion means giving in. It means surrendering, giving up, letting go into whatever it may be. In the beginning, you know, working with the heart, there's a lot of difficult things that we would categorize as painful. Later, and not that far off, to be honest with you, you're going to run into things that are even more difficult, which is the vastness of the heart and the absolute infinity of its love. And it sounds good, but in order to relate to that, there's a much deeper surrender that's required. The surrender in the beginning just to the difficult, painful, somewhat possibly disgusting or dark aspects of the heart, that's difficult. But surrendering to the heart in its own essence, that's a much bigger leap for all of us. So the heart is bringing us along step by step, and it's training us to be able to trust what comes up without comment, without judgment, and without trying to do something else, and simply be present to it. You know, the journey goes on, and every step of the way we're going to be saying the same thing, don't interfere. You know, in Tonglen, as you may have learned in this country, there's a lot of interference. Well, I'm doing this, and I visualize this, and I know this person's pain, and then I'm going to, you know, bring this pain in, and I'm going to send out this goodness. That's okay on a superficial level, but that's not real Tonglen. Real Tonglen, there is no interference. It's an unfolding process. It is tapping into the spontaneous love and healing that is our basic state of being. But the only way to get there is to trust the body and take ourselves out of it. See what I mean?
To download more of Reggie's teachings, find out about upcoming retreats, and to explore a variety of audio listening guides to assist you on your spiritual journey, please visit dharmaocean.org. Our music is by Jeff Beal and Nawang Kechog from the album Tibet, Cry of the Snow Lion.